Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the podcast, I know I said we were going to do the Steeler Country draft review today. I have that interview ready to go, but Kevin Colbert big-timed us today. He gave an interview to Missy Matthews for Steelers Nation Unite, going over a wide range of things, the Mason Rudolph pick, rookie minicamp, the Le'Veon Bell contract situation, just a wide-ranging interview that I thought was very interesting and we should talk about today. So we'll probably do the Steeler Country draft review sometime next week, maybe Monday or Tuesday. We'll do that. Before we get into Kevin Colbert's comments today, let's start today with some Steelers news and notes. First of all, the undefeated.com, ESPN's mini site, wrote a great article about Mike Tomlin today. The article is titled In Search of the Real Mike Tomlin. It is a long form article. It's a very, very long article, but I highly recommend you guys give this thing a read. And I will put a link to it on LockedOnSteelers.com in this post because it is a terrific article profiling not just Mike Tomlin, the coach, but Mike Tomlin, the person. It's a great read. And again, I highly, highly recommend it. So that's on TheUndefeated.com. It's called In Search of the Real Mike Tomlin. The Steelers signed fifth-round pick Jalen Samuels today to his rookie deal. This is, you know, rookie deals at this point, because there is the rookie pay scale, especially with fifth-round picks, there is not a lot of wiggle room. So, you know, these contracts usually get done pretty quickly, and it's good to see that the Steelers are already starting. I mean, sometimes these can last into, you know, into past minicamp and past OTAs and that kind of thing. But good to see that the Steelers have already started getting those signings underway, and hopefully the Steelers will have all of that done far, far in advance of training camp. Sean Payton, the coach of the New Orleans Saints and a member of the competition committee, trying to play down this whole lowering with the helmet rule thing. You know, we've heard so much about it the past couple weeks and about how it's going to affect the game in 2018. Sean Payton took a very different approach, saying, quote, "I think you're going to see less of these penalties than you think. When we discussed the instances a year ago, it's going to be the obvious ones where there's been plenty of time. If the player is approaching the tackle, it's going to be those six or seven incidents from a year ago, maybe even less than that. I don't see that number being a tremendously high number, but I do feel like this posture we have to remove from the game." So an interesting look there, because, you know, Sean Payton saying it's not going to be as much as people are saying. You know, we've heard five per game. He's saying we're only calling this on the super egregious ones where a guy has, you know, he's not just lowering his head at the last moment. He has a chance to bring his head up or chooses to lower his helmet in the act of tackling, you know, again, as he says, you know, over the seconds that he talks about when he's making that tackle. So it'll be interesting to see, because we've heard Rich McKay say the exact opposite, right? Rich McKay, the chairman of the competition committee, saying this is going to be a significant change to the game of football and that this is going to have a significant impact in 2018. And I guess both things could be true, right? Because what Sean Payton is saying is that it's not going to affect the game like people are thinking, where it's going to be penalties every game and you know, we're adding five personal fouls penalties to the game, to every game. And that, you know, how much that's going to affect the game, versus what what Rich McKay is saying is that this is going to be significant in that it's going to make the game safer, right? And that is what the NFL is trying to do in the long run here, is make this game safer. So I guess both things can be true. I'm just worried about the reactionary nature of this rule, the fact that it's being made because there were so many concussions in 2017, and I know this is a rule that they've been working on over time. You know, we've seen this kind of evolve from the lowering the helmet rule with running backs, which, you know, hasn't changed the game at all, and I don't know that that penalty's ever been called. But we'll see. You know, again, this is still a rule that is in progress. There is not final language yet on this. I don't think anyone really knows what the true rule is going to be or how this is going to be officiated, and they're still working that out. So we're going to keep an eye on this one, though, because it is interesting. All right, let's get into this interview that Missy Matthews did today as part of a Steelers Nation Unite fan question and answer session with Kevin Colbert. Again, all of the questions that were asked were from the fans. And I actually thought they asked a bunch of really good questions and got a bunch of really good and interesting answers from Kevin Colbert. And I want to start today with something we've been talking about really for the last week or so, but this is Kevin Colbert again talking about Mason Rudolph, but I think being as transparent as we've heard him about the situation.
Why did you make the choice to pick a quarterback in the third round of the draft this year?
Well, it was really a simple choice because we had Mason Rudolph rated among a really good group of quarterbacks, which was unique to this draft. We haven't seen a group like this, in all honesty, since the 2004 draft when we were able to pick Ben. So Mason had first round grades on him. We thought that he can be an eventual starter in this league at some point. And if you don't take a quarterback that you have rated that high, you're really not doing your organization right. So it was really a simple pick at that point in time. And we just hope that Mason is who we think he is, and time will tell. I mean, you know, the quarterback position is unique. It's the most important position on any NFL team. So his growth and development, fortunately, doesn't have to be overnight, because we obviously have a Hall of Fame quarterback who we hope plays for as many years as he can, and he can help us win some Super Bowls while Mason develops.
Boy, there is just a lot to unpack there, isn't there? The Steelers had a first-round grade on Mason Rudolph. How many first-round quarterbacks have the Steelers even had the opportunity to draft in the last 5 to 10 years? It's got to be zero, right? I mean, given where we've picked, we haven't been less than eight. We've been 8-8 or better for the past 15 years. This team has had zero chances to take a quarterback like this. And so, you know, really, what's interesting about this is it puts the whole draft process now in a completely different light, right? Knowing that the Steelers had a first-round grade on Mason Rudolph likely means that when they were picking in round one, Mason Rudolph was either atop their board or right up there with Terrell Edmonds. That, you know, he probably entered into the discussion in round one. And the discussion they had was probably very similar to the one we've been having on this very podcast about, you know, boy, do we take a successor to Ben Roethlisberger now, even though he's committed to 3 to 5 more years? And they decide, no, we're going to go with Terrell Edmonds, right? A guy who can hopefully help us immediately. And then in round two, right, same idea. You have a first-round quarterback. Now, no doubt about it, in the second round, Mason Rudolph is definitely the top player on their board, right? But again, in the second round, they felt like, no, we need to take James Washington. He can help us today. And as Kevin Colbert said, in the third round, it's a no-brainer at that point, right? Because by the third round, you know, we're through all of the, like, definite starter-type players, and you're into more depth-type players. But if you have a first-round graded quarterback available to you in round three, I get what Kevin Colbert's saying. And so what makes me excited about listening to Kevin Colbert talk about Mason Rudolph is a couple-fold. One, I'm excited that they're able to get this caliber of quarterback in their eyes. Now, obviously, I have issues with Mason Rudolph, and I have questions about whether or not he will eventually become the player that they think he will be. But, you know, they're very, very high on him. And I make no claims to be a better scout or a better player evaluator than the Steelers are. So if they are high on him, that gets me excited. And then number two, what's exciting to me is that they have the same kind of idea of, this is not the replacement for Ben Roethlisberger today or tomorrow. This is not a pick we wanted to make. It's a pick we had to make. Right, and that to me is more interesting coming out of this draft, is that the Steelers just felt like, look, we want to get players that can help today. And they did that with Edmonds, and they did that with Washington. But in round three, what are we doing here? We cannot pass on a first-round quarterback three times. And they didn't, and ultimately, I do agree with them on that. As disappointed as I am that they didn't get more help at inside linebacker and edge rusher, I'm not going to say that they shouldn't get, you know, they shouldn't take a first-round quarterback in round three. So really interesting to hear Kevin Colbert open up there about Mason Rudolph and confirm that they had a first-round grade on him, and it allows us to go back and have a different perspective on the draft. And then the other player that Kevin Colbert talked about during this interview was Keon Adams, the 7th-round draft pick from a year ago, edge rusher, outside linebacker that was injured last season and missed all of 2017. Here's Kevin Colbert on his status.
Well, Keon has done fine from a rehab standpoint. You know, he was really through that injury in about 5 months. He was fully healthy. Now it's a matter of conditioning and getting back into football. So until he gets onto the football field and works, it's really hard to answer that because we haven't seen him do football other than just the rehab stuff.
So Keon Adams was someone that the Steelers talked about after the draft as kind of being a second, 7th-round pick for them, someone that they're that they think can develop this year into a good edge rusher for them and potentially provide some depth. Remember, right now it's T.J. Watt, Bud Dupree, and Anthony Chiccolo as your, you know, their two starters and the backup, Keon Adams being the fourth guy. The Steelers like to carry four or five even at that position. So you got to wonder, you know, OTAs are going to start here, I think, at the end of May. We'll see how Keon Adams looks, and potentially the Steelers could still address that before training camp. I would look to see if the Steelers bring back someone like Arthur Motes, just as a veteran presence there, depending on how Keon Adams looked. Again, as Kevin Colbert said, rehab went great for Adams, which is good, but now the next thing he has to do is prove it on the football field, and he'll have an opportunity to do that when OTAs start later this month. Today is the start of rookie minicamp, and here's Kevin Colbert on what that's going to entail for the rookies that show up today.
Rookie minicamp is the starting spot for these kids, and they'll come in over this weekend. They'll come in very big-eyed because some of them have been to our facility, some of them haven't. They won't get really any interaction with our veteran players because our veteran players won't be here on Friday or Saturday or Sunday during those practice sessions unless they come into the locker room for picking something up. But there won't be that interaction. But it'll be a big learning process for these guys. Our coaches will throw as much at them as they think they can handle so that when they come back for the spring and the OTAs, they've at least had exposure to what they're going to have to learn. And that will be, because it's only the rookies, it's really a concentration on getting them up to speed as much as they possibly can in that time period. When they come back for the spring and the OTAs, we'll expand on that. And they'll also, at that point, have exposure to the veteran players. And, of course, when we go to training camp, it's more about the physical development more than the mental development. But really, both have to continue to happen at that point.
Okay.
So, again, a big day for the Steelers rookie minicamp opening today. It's going to be our first chance to get some reports from Terrell Edmonds and Mason Rudolph and James Washington and how those three guys are looking. Of course, you know, there's going to be a lot of talk about Terrell Edmonds and where the Steelers use him and what they think he can do early on in his career with James Washington. You know, the questions are all going to be about how well he plays early on and whether or not he can be a year one contributor in the way that Juju was a year ago. And then, of course, you know, Mason Rudolph is a quarterback, and so it's all going to be about his play as well and how he looks. Can he beat out Landry Jones for the backup role? There's a lot of interesting things there with Mason Rudolph, not from a successor to Ben Roethlisberger. We've exhausted that topic, I feel like, but we should spend a little bit of time maybe next week talking about Mason Rudolph, Landry Jones, and Josh Dobbs, and just, you know, where the Steelers are going to be as far as, is Landry Jones the backup and Mason Rudolph is the third quarterback? Is Mason Rudolph the backup quarterback and maybe Josh Dobbs is the third quarterback? I think it'll be interesting to see. And again, starting today, we're gonna hear about how this team and how these rookies are looking. So I'm excited for that. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can find me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.